Need the backpack on those. Amen. You may go ahead and be seated. I want to just say that this is as much your award, what we got tonight, as it is ours and any other materials at all. And many of you may not know my wife Lisa and myself. We really have been connected with the Rock back since the early 1990s. Actually, 1990 is when we started. And in 1991, Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah ordained me into the ministry. And so my ordination's under this church. Barbara did our books when we first went to Nigeria as missionaries. And Pastor Jim and Debbie have been on our board of directors since the very beginning. Pastor Deborah was a midwife to bring to birth the Woman of the World program and really open up this facility for us to do the recordings, to bring the great woman from around the world to here at the Rock where we recorded them. Pastor Paul Ogando over there is our Spanish translator, and his translation enables all the other languages to have a space into which they can go. And these programs now are in 142 countries. And to me, this award's your award, because your tithes, your offerings, your support, your love, your pastors, the leaders of this church have stood with us from the very beginning. In the actual vision of video Bible schools to train and disciple the nations, God gave that to Pastor Jim in the late 1980s. He went to Nigeria and he began to, and to Ghana, and began to share a vision to turn churches into training schools and to use media and video to start video training. And so I just thank God for your support and for the support of this church. I want you to give yourselves a hand, because to the glory of God, amen, it's going to another level. Amen? Just to give you a little bit of understanding, I don't very often share much about what we do, but we record the greatest teachers in the world, women's teachers and doctors. We do for the Box program, it's how to prevent AIDS. We take missionaries who are 35 years missionaries in the Congo or on the front lines, teaching people how to take care of their teeth so they don't lose them, teach them how to deliver a baby if there's no doctor, how to clean their water if they don't have any Western type of device, how to prevent malaria, AIDS, how to do agriculture, all of those things. We capture the greatest teachers in the world, and then we release this to the nations. And this is one of the devices that we use, because our heart's the remote villages and the remote places. We used to do everything on VHS cassettes. To send one school into a country was 100 VHS cassettes, a massive, huge box of material. Well, we can take 100 hours, it's actually about 96 hours of material, and we can now put that same content onto a microchip. Micro SD chip, smaller than a thumbnail, and this now contains almost 100 hours of training that can go into any country. This is a backpack where this comes off and it can go on the back of a bicycle, the back of a motorcycle, all this can charge. It has a video projector inside. It's just a little bit bigger than an iPhone. Has a sound system about twice the size of an iPhone. Everything in here can bring a training school, solar-powered, needs no electricity, to the remotest village in the Amazon, to the highest peak in the Andes Mountains, into the jungles of Burma and Vietnam. We're able to deliver the Word of God into these countries. Amen. Praise God. There'll be more about it at our table behind if anybody wants to get some more information. Are you ready for the Word of God tonight? I want to bring something that's relevant to this is today, the 25th anniversary. This is the actual day of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Amen. We're getting ready for the launch of an incredibly exciting vision. This freedom for our future, I believe, is so of God. It's so much the vision of heaven. God is going to unshackle the church. Not unshackle it so it can just rest on its laurels, but unshackle it to do what God created this church to do, is to go in and change nations, to go in and change cities, and to change communities, and to touch a hurting world. in a measure and a way that we've never seen before. All these 25 years are just foundation building for the future. These next 3 years are strategic. And I believe it's going to happen much faster than 3 years. Because God is going to prosper every one of us as we sow into the freedom for our future. Let me tell you, if there's one principle that you can glean from God's word, from cover to cover, that when you put the house of God first, it's the challenge God gives. He says, I'll open the windows of heaven. I will pour out such a blessing you will not be able to receive it. And I believe that's going to be released into this church in a measure we've never seen before. And so this 25-year anniversary, to me, it's just fitting that it be the launching point of a whole new era of effectiveness of what the way God is. All God is doing in these next 3 years is spring-loading this church for its destiny and for its real purpose, which I believe none of us have yet seen, because God's got things much greater than any of us could imagine. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I want us to turn and I want us to start. Tonight I want to teach on the power of revelation teaching. The power of revelation teaching. Many people, you know, ask us about our ministry and why God uses it and why it's so effective. I'm going to share to you tonight the kernel, the core. The reason why our ministry is effective is because we have understood the power of revelation teaching. Now, revelation is greater than information. It's greater than inspiration. It's greater than affirmation. Revelation comes from God. And my first point tonight is that revelation comes from God. We're going to start in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And revelation teaching comes from God. In verse 13 of Matthew 16, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elisha, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, or has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now, Jesus asks a simple question. He's like, who do people say that I am? But you know, when people ask, well, who's Jesus? You ask on television, or you ask in the media, or ask in the nations, and everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion. Well, he's, you know, he's a prophet. Well, he's a good person. He's, you know, he's a miracle worker. You know, he's this, he's that. And everybody has an opinion about everything in this world. Jesus says to Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus makes a statement. He said, that did not come from man. That is revelation. That is something that no human being can reveal. That is something my Father showed you. You see, revelation cuts through all the opinions. Revelation goes to the heart of truth. And it reveals it, and you cannot get it unless God gives it to you. Revelation comes from God. It's an inspiration. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And it settles all the issues. Jesus says to Peter, flesh and blood did not show that to you. My Father showed it to you. And my heart is passionate about how do we get revelation? And how does revelation come to us? Because I believe every one of us needs to have a greater hunger for revelation understanding. Amen? So revelation comes from God. You must pray for it and ask for it, because if it's coming from God, when you open up your Bible, you must be praying, God, give me revelation. Open my eyes so I can see this. I want not just what some opinion says, I want what you say. I want a revelation from the Holy Spirit. And point number two is that revelation teaching involves knowledge and understanding There is an element of knowledge and understanding in Revelation. You understand how something works. And this is a very, very important point, so I'm going to take a few minutes on it. Pastor Jim shared a story that I had told him a number of years ago about the great escape artist Houdini. Houdini was, you know, he was a magician actually originally, and then he became an escape artist, probably the most famous escape artist that's, you know, that is known in modern times. Houdini could escape from anything. I mean, they could put every handcuff. He was also a locksmith, and he understood every kind of lock, every type of handcuff, every type of jail cell. He understood, and he was able to actually swallow keys and ingest them and then spit them up and be able to use them to unlock things. And the escape feats that he did were absolutely extraordinary. Just do a Google search on Houdini. He was able to escape from every single thing that they ever put him in. Every cell, they used to actually strip him naked and put him in a jail cell. And, you know, they would strip him naked so that he wouldn't have anything to use. And he would escape. He was only not able to escape from one cell. They put him in a jail cell in southern Italy. He worked for about 2 or 3 hours, and he tried everything he knew how. Every trick, everything that he had ever learned about locks and about cells, he tried, and he finally gave up and said, I've been able to escape from every cell except this one. The reason he could not escape from that one cell was because the door was already open. It was never locked. He wasn't in a cell. He was only in prison in his mind. And as one moment he got knowledge, he just pushed the door open. Many times we are in prison spiritually because we don't have knowledge. Because we don't understand. We don't have a revelation. And the Apostle Paul prays this prayer for the believers. He says in Ephesians 1 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, praying for the saints, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He prays for not just, you know, a revelation, but revelation in the knowledge of God. There is a knowledge component to revelation that we need to respect and understand. Now, that revelation does come through study. It comes through learning. It comes through applying yourself to wisdom, applying yourself to understand. To seek God and say, God, I need to understand this. I need to learn. I need to get a revelation, God, because I don't understand whatever issue it is in life. Every single area of life has got a key. It's got a secret. There are mysteries. There are understandings. There's wisdom. If we understood those things, we would walk in a divine place in those areas. But we have to gain a passion and a heart for revelation. And we must have a heart to understand and a heart to learn. The apostle, or the prophet Daniel, in Daniel 9, he writes these words. And Daniel's now, one of the refugees of the children of Israel. He's in Babylon. He's been there for his whole life in Babylon since he was a small child taken to Babylon. He's in the palace of the king Nebuchadnezzar. And he's seeking God. Lord, how long are we going to be here? God says, you go and study the Bible. And he begins to read the prophetic utterances of the past. And he starts seeking God. God, how long? God doesn't give him a number or a time. God says, go to the scriptures. And he starts reading Jeremiah's prophecies. This is what Daniel writes in Daniel 9, verse 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books, the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. He said he understood by the books, he understood by reading, he understood by studying that God had determined there would be 70 years. So there is an understanding and a wisdom that comes from learning. That's why the passion of our heart is to put training schools, because we've got to bring understanding. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. People die because they don't know how to deliver a baby. They die because they don't know how to take care of their teeth. They die because they don't know how to build a latrine that doesn't pollute their water supply. We've got to bring knowledge and we've got to bring understanding and wisdom to the nations. Amen? Many people ask how we got the ISOM, and I never had an angel visit me and say, oh, here's the ISOM, dude. I studied for year upon year upon year, and I was all the time seeking God, what's the key to this harvest? And finally God showed me, turn every church in the world into a training center. Bring revelation teaching into every local church. Take the greatest teachers in the world and bring their revelation into the local church, and every believer has the ability to grow in revelation understanding. That's what we do all over the world. 15,000 training sites now are using the curriculum. Now, sometimes understanding undergirds what we do in life. If you understand the stock market or understand derivatives or understand, you know, all these different things, I don't understand them. So, you know, maybe you do. But when people who do understand these areas are able to do things in those areas that other people can't do. Amen? Now, in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus comes to a centurion. In verse 5, he says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "My Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." Now, centurion says, "Jesus, I've got this servant who's dreadfully tormented." Jesus says to him, I'll come and heal him. I mean, he's got the green light. Jesus will come right there and heal him. But the centurion goes on and he says, the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another one, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith. Not even in Israel." Jesus just spoke a word, the servant was healed. Now, my question to you is, was it faith or was it an understanding and a revelation of authority? You see, the centurion had a revelation of the authority of what Jesus had. He saw his own authority and he saw what he could do, and he saw Jesus' authority and had a revelation of who he was. That Jesus could just speak a word and no matter what he said, it was going to happen. He had a revelation of the authority of Jesus, and so faith became easy. You see, when you have a revelation understanding of how something works, you can speak and it will happen. Are you with me, church? We have to seek revelation. Lisa's pastor, many years ago, I remember him sharing a story of a guy who... It's actually a city in Canada. I think it was back in the 50s where, you know, electricity was not as efficient as maybe it is today. And a small town in a remote area, they had purchased a huge generator. And this generator had worked for many years, but it was getting old and it finally packed up and it was on its last legs. And they realized they had to get a new generator for the city. They researched all the different companies, and they finally found a company here in California. And they purchased this generator, and it was taken up, and it was installed in their city in Canada. Worked beautifully for about 3 years. But one morning when they woke up, they heard it making a terrible noise, and suddenly, it suddenly just ceased and stopped. Well, they brought in all the electricians and the technicians and the electrical engineers and all the people that they had. Anybody who knew anything about generators or about electricity. And these guys worked for about 2 or 3 hours. They could not get that machine to work. Finally, they realized, they said, "We need to get this thing fixed before nightfall." They put an emergency call into the company here in California, and they actually paid for a charter flight to fly a technician from California to where they were in Canada. Flew this guy in. He arrived late in the afternoon. And he came into the large room where they had this generator. All of the technicians stood behind him watching, "What's this great guy from California? What's he going to do that we haven't tried and haven't been able to do?" And this man started on one side of the machine and he just went through, systematically just checking things and going all the way through this machine. He got to the other end. He turned around and he said to them, bring me a screwdriver, a large one. So they ran and bought him a large screwdriver and he flipped the screwdriver around, held it by the metal part, and he walked up to the machine. He stepped back and he hit the machine. He told them, he said, now turn it on. They went on, they turned the switch, and the machine roared to life, and it worked perfectly. The man turned around and flew back to California. They paid all the expenses, but 2 weeks later, the bill arrived from California. They only had one line for fixing your generator, $5,010. They're like, this is crazy. The guy was only there for 10 minutes. You know what? He went through our machine and took a screwdriver, hit the machine, and then walked away. And $5,000. They said, they sent a letter back, a pretty angry one. They said, we demand an itemized breakdown of your bill. 2 weeks later, second bill arrives. It has two lines. First line, it says, $10 for hitting your generator with a screwdriver. The second line says $5,000 for knowing where to hit the generator with the screwdriver. When you understand things, they're worth something. Amen? Amen? And what my heart is tonight is to impart to all of us a passion to understand, a passion to grow in revelation. You may think, well, I have a revelation of Jesus. Well, that's not enough. You need a revelation in prayer. You need a revelation in God's healing power. You need a revelation in your marriage. You need a revelation in giving. You need a revelation in your family. You need a revelation in prosperity. You need a revelation in the prophetic ministry. You need a revelation in raising your children. You need a revelation in your friendships and in your relationships. You need a revelation in your intimacy with God, in your love and your forgiveness, in all the other areas of life. And we need to have a hunger. That's why the church has been saying to everybody that comes here and gives their life to Christ, give us a year. A year is just the beginning. A year will just give you a taste of how your life will change if you will pursue God and pursue revelation, pursue understanding. Are you with me, church? Amen? The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I never really understood this scripture before, and let me tell you, don't ever worry. None of us are even close to this, so don't have to worry about the Apostle Paul's problem here. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. What the Apostle Paul was saying was that the reason why God actually sent something to humble him was because he had so many revelations. He was so passionate and so desired to learn about the heavenly realm, to learn about his faith in God, and to learn about the things of God. He was so passionate about that, that he gained such a level of knowledge and understanding and wisdom that the Lord had to keep him humble. Because the Bible says knowledge can puff you up. And God will make sure that whatever we do, that he keeps us in a place where we're dependent upon him. Amen? Amen. But the point is, he wasn't talking about one revelation. Some Christians, they're just happy because they had a revelation of Jesus. Well, that's great. That's just the start. You're not at this point where you have an abundance of revelations. God wants us to have a hunger for the revelation of heaven. Amen. Now, when I put this one up, we need much revelation teaching. Nobody has it all. Because so many times, People gravitate to one teacher or another. Oh, this guy, oh, he's just the greatest. You know, he's the most amazing person in the world. And, you know, I just, everything that he teaches is just God. Let me tell you, after being around some of the greatest teachers and leaders in the entire global church, Lisa and I work for Reinhard Bonnke. We have been around the best. Nobody has all the answers. We need the global church. We need God's people. We need the revelations that God's given to the global body. And a person can have a great revelation. You know, I studied the life of Dr. John G. Lake. Many of you may not have even heard of him, but he started a major movement, a denomination in Southern Africa. He was here in California, up in Spokane, Washington. He had over 100,000 documented miracle healings in Spokane, Washington in a 5-year period. The Department of Health, I believe, declared that city the healthiest city in the entire country. I mean, he had incredible healing miracles. He went to Africa and he started this incredible movement, and started thousands of churches have come out of his movement that are in the country where I was born. But you know what? As great as his revelation was on healing, his first wife died. She died of hunger because he didn't have a revelation on how to take care of his family. He didn't have a revelation on God's provision. She was feeding all the people that were coming day and night, and she didn't eat herself. And they didn't have enough food in the house, and she died of starvation. His first 2 children, I understand, turned away from God, because he didn't have a revelation of how to raise his children. Even though he had this great revelation in healing, he did not have these other revelations. My understanding is that he married again, and his second wife and his second children that he had, they served God because he learned to grow in those areas that he didn't have revelation in. And we all need to recognize we've all got blind spots. And that's my 4th point. We need revelation in our blind spots. Now, we started with Matthew 16. Remember Jesus and Peter, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Remember that amazing scripture? Jesus says, "Flesh and blood didn't show you. Peter, you just had a revelation from God." I mean, you think Peter's, he's walking on water. He did for a short time, then he sank. But you know, Peter had a revelation from God about who Jesus was. Now, you can go and count 5, I think it's maybe 6 verses later. We pick it up in Matthew 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the 3rd day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men.'" From 17 to 23, 6 verses after Jesus says to Peter, "Flesh and blood didn't show this to you. My Father showed this to you." 6 verses later, he says, "Get behind me, Satan." The same guy, the same Peter. That means that he spoke under the revelation of God concerning who Jesus was. But he did not have a revelation of what Jesus was supposed to do. And so some people say, "Oh, this person has such a revelation. You know, God used them to give me a word of knowledge, or God used them to show them." And people will take, because a person has a revelation in one area, and they'll say, "Well, he must have a revelation in everything." That's just not true. You've got to learn to discern where true revelation is. And some people walk in a supernatural revelation in one area of their life, but they do not have revelation in another area. And that's why we as believers need to recognize our blind spots. We need to realize that the first 3 chapters of the book of Revelation, Jesus is speaking to the church. He says, "You're doing this and this and this, great. But you know what? I have a few things against you. These areas here, you need to fix them." I often want Jesus to say to our church, say, "God, show us all the good things we're doing. We're feeding the poor. We're doing this. But Lord, where are our blind spots? What are the things we should be doing that we're not doing?" And then when he speaks to us individually and personally, I know I've got blind spots. I know there's areas that I don't yet walk in revelation. But I want to be at least cognizant and understand that they're there so I don't try and be the authority on everything. Amen? If you have a revelation, walk in that revelation, but don't try and be the authority over an area that you don't have a revelation in. Amen? Give the Lord a hand. Amen? David prays and says, search me, O God, know my heart, try me. No, this is in Psalm 139. It should come up on the overheads. This is David praying to God, and he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a tough prayer because you're asking the Father, search me. See if there's any wicked way in me. And Lord, I want to understand it. I want to know my faults. I want to know my weaknesses. I want to know where I'm going wrong. You don't want to just keep going into destruction. You want to find the right way. You want to find the way of light, of understanding, of truth, and of revelation. But you have to be willing to be transparent. Say, God, you know what? I'm great in this area, but I really need some help here. Are you with me, church? Last point. Revelation is carried and released by people. You know, if you don't have a revelation, you can't give a revelation. If you've not come to a place of understanding, you've not come to a place of wisdom, you've not come to a place of God illuminating something to you, you're going to be in the place of opinion. Well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Well, these people say this, those people say that. Until God cuts through all of that and gives you an understanding, you're going to be, you know, vacillating. And you've got to realize that there are people that carry revelations. The core essence of our entire ministry is to look around the world and find revelation. And to try and, I will travel to the ends of the earth. We've gone all the way to the Philippines, to Australia. We've gone to other nations, to other parts of this nation here in the United States. We've traveled to the ends of this country and the world. I'm after one thing. I'm after a revelation understanding. When I find somebody who's had a revelation, we've got some of the teachings back there. And, you know, when Cheryl Salem lost a five-year-old and she's caught up into the heavenlies after she lost her child. And she had cancer and was dying. And you know what? She didn't understand what had happened to her. But Jesus took her out of her body up into the presence of Jesus himself. And she had a face-to-face encounter with God. And Jesus spoke to her. And she brought forth some understandings of death and the afterlife that, you know, are just amazing. They're just total revelation. The Lord said, your daughter's no longer in your past. She's in your future. Look forward, you're going to see her again. Start looking to the end of the race that God has for your life. I have one there called Conquering the Sin Nature. It's very personal to me because for 13 years I struggled with my thoughts. And I would be worshiping God, and an ungodly thought would come in my mind. I would try to cast it down, bind the devil. I would throw scripture at it. The more I tried not to think about it, the more I thought about it. Then the devil sat on my shoulder and said, doesn't Jesus say if you even think about it, you've committed it. Now I was under guilt, condemnation. I was, you know, the blood of Jesus. But you know what? The devil had a field day. And it wasn't just one day, 3 days, a week. It was 13 years of struggle until God gave me revelation. You see, the Bible says the anointing will break the yoke, but only truth will make you free. God showed me that the sin nature in me in God's eyes is not me. I was fighting the flesh with the flesh. When he showed me that the sin nature that I was fighting was not the real me. The real me was the person who loved God and wanted to serve him. But I was trying, believing the lie of the devil that the sin nature in me was me. And God broke that chain. I don't have those problems anymore. And when I release that in that teaching, it sets other people free because they're in the same place. They're in the prison cell and they don't know that the door's already open. Amen? Amen? Revelation is carried by people. Second Kings chapter 6. And we're almost done here. This is a story of Elisha, surrounded by armies. And in verse 15, we'll pick up the story. When the servant of the man of God arose early and went outside, or went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So Elisha and his servant are sleeping in a city. They wake up in the morning. The king of Syria has sent just a massive army to come and capture him and take them prisoner and probably kill them. And so they wake up in the morning and the servant looks out and he just sees just soldiers. He sees a massive army and he says to Elisha, "Alas, my father, what shall we do?" Are you with me in the story? "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So in verse 16, so he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Wait, it's Elisha and his servant, and there's an entire army. And the servant's looking at Elisha like, "You are still dreaming." But now look what happens. So he answered, "Do not fear, those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The man of God who had revelation, he could see those armies. He could see them around. The servant could not see them. The man of God laid hands and said, "Open his eyes, God, so he can see the protection of heaven." You need a revelation of God's protection around your home, around your business, around your family, around your church. God's got armies of fire, of chariots. There's more on our side than on their side and on the enemy side. And when you get a revelation of God's protection, you won't fear. No matter what the opposition is, God is on your side. Amen? Amen? You see, a person who has a revelation can give revelation. Peter and John going to the temple, they see a man begging, asking for money, and they say, "Silver and gold we don't have, but what we have, we give." See, they had a revelation of healing. They said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And that man jumped up and he was healed. Because they had a revelation of healing. There's a revelation of healing. There's a revelation of protection. There's a revelation in all these areas. We just have to pursue it. Amen? Amen. We're entering now, to me, one of the most amazing campaigns. And I want to speak faith into the heart of this church. There is a revelation of giving. There is a supernatural. Let me tell you, I have met people who walk in a supernatural place of giving and provision. We as a ministry, in 21 years, we've never missed a payroll, never not paid a bill on time, because we walk as a ministry in a supernatural place of God's provision. I learned a lot of it from Reinhard, but God also supernaturally began to bring it into my own life. And I had to step on those waters. And sometimes when you start stepping on those waters, it's a ginger step. Reinhard had a huge fire conference in Europe, in England, in 1988. He invited different speakers from all over the world. Very famous teachers came in. He invited a sort of an interesting guy from Mexico. He was a missionary in Mexico City. His name was Wayne Myers. Wayne is a very interesting character. I mean, this guy drives a beat-up station wagon and just gives millions and millions away. He goes to Christ for the Nations. He's from that school there in Dallas, Texas. And he'll go there and he'll just stand at the gate and watch the students come by from different nations. And he'll say, the Lord will say, "Okay, take that one, that one, that one, that one." And he says, he'll pull them to himself and he'll say, "I'm going to pay all your tuition, all your books, everything." He doesn't have it. But he has a message called Living to Give. So when we recorded the iSong, I looked around, God, who can teach on giving? And God brought my mind Wayne Myers. We brought him up from Mexico City, and he came to where we were doing the recording back in Cottonwood Christian Center in Los Alamitos. And Wayne came in, and you know, 5 hours I recorded him. I was directing cameras, like what Luke used to do back there. And 5 hours I'm recording this man teaching on giving. I really can't even remember hardly a scripture that he said. I remember something about God preparing a table in the wilderness. I don't even hardly remember almost anything that he taught. But I'll tell you what I do remember. For 5 hours, I looked at a face that shone like the sun. This man exuded more joy than I have ever seen in any human being. And for 5 hours, I'm looking at this guy's face because I'm going to have to direct the cameras. I'm going to have to go from this angle, that angle, that angle. And I'm watching for 5 hours a joy that I've never, ever seen. And I finally, at the end of the 5 hours, I turned to the guy in the control room. I said, you know what? If it's that much fun to give, Lord, teach me to give. Amen. There's a joy in giving. And I was challenged because this guy was challenging me to step into a supernatural place of giving and of living in a place of supernatural provision. And I began to say, God, I want that revelation. Now, before we left Reinhard, we were in Germany, and there was a guy from England called Grant Gill. He was visiting over from England, and you know, we were getting rid of all of our stuff. I think we gave him some of our things that we had in our apartment because we couldn't take them back to America. And this guy went and started a church in London. Grant Gill drove Wayne Myers for a week around England. Now, let me tell you, revelation is infectious. Because when you see somebody walk in it, you're like, man, I would be nice to walk in that. I'd love to be able to do what that person's doing or understand like they do. My friend Grant Gill, for a whole week, had to drive him around, hear story after story of him putting roofs on buildings, giving cars away to pastors, giving, and they're never running out. My friend Grant Gill was really, really challenged. And he said, God, you know, I've never given a car away to a pastor. I've never done something like that. So he started to save up his money because he thought, when I next go to Africa, I am going to save up enough money and I'm going to give my first car to a pastor. Well, he went, after he had saved up his money, he went to South Africa and he was looking for a car to give to a pastor. Well, as he was driving along the road, he saw a big sign saying, car auction today. And he felt the Holy Spirit say, go in right over here. Well, it was at a car auction with 11 cars. And it was a silent auction, so they put the car windows down just a little bit. And you wrote out your bid, put it in the car window, and then at the end of the day, they counted up all the bids, and whoever had the highest bid won the car. So Grant looked for the nicest looking car, and he put a bid in there. He thought, well, what if I don't win that one? Well, I should put a few more in. So yeah, well, he ended up putting one in each car. But I think he was thinking British pounds and they were thinking African rands, all right? Because when they opened up the bids, he won all 11. All 11. But he only had enough money for one. He went into a cold sweat. He said, God, I just need to get away. I need to pray. What am I supposed to do now? I was trying to step on this area of revelation giving, and now I'm in a mess. I'm ruining my credit, and you know, now I'm gonna be embarrassed and I can't pay. So he asks the auctioneer, can I please choose the best car and I want to take it on a test drive? He just wanted to get away and pray. He chose a green Ford Sierra, the nicest one that they had there, and he took the keys, they gave him his own keys of his own car, and he started driving off and he's sweating before God, praying, oh God, what am I going to do now? I don't like this revelation stuff. I don't like stepping on these waters. And as he's driving down the road, he sees a big sign says, Ford dealership, we buy used cars for cash. The Holy Spirit says, go in there. He takes the green Ford Sierra and he says to the guy who's purchasing, he says, how much would you give me? The man gives him enough money to pay for all 11 cars. Amen. He gave 10 cars away. 10. Now, when I wrote this in my book, Abraham Promise, and I wanted to check the story again. I got his email address from Wayne Myers, and I sent an email. I said, Grant, this is the best I understand the story. I need you to check it. He fixed a few things, and he said, no, this. And then he said, you haven't heard the end of the story. He says, I have now given away 30 cars, and I have number 31 in my garage waiting for God to tell me who to give it to. Amen. He started walking in revelation of giving. There is a revelation place. Let me tell you, we began a number of years ago when we started the Miracle Birthday Offering. My wife and I, we just were challenged. Okay, we're going to give the little extra. And we started giving and we stretched our faith. You know, from the day we went above and beyond the tithe, God turned our finances supernaturally around. When they finished the Miracle Birthday Offering and we finished our pledge, I told my wife, I'm not going to lose out on this blessing. We're keeping on going. And now we're just turning it now and we've gone up a whole nother notch, because I know that when we start stepping into freedom for our future, that God is going to do something so supernatural. We're going to give away cars. We're going to give away houses. We're going to give away. I'll tell you, God will prosper us like you've never seen. Amen. And my passion tonight is to challenge you as a church and to challenge all of us to catch a heart for revelation, to say to God, Lord, teach me to walk in these places. Teach me to stretch my faith and to go into another level where I was too tentative. And let me tell you, sometimes putting your foot on those waters is not easy. I'm the first one to tell you, but let me tell you, the promises of God are the safest places you will ever stand. And in those places, God will take care of you. Do it with wisdom. Do it with prayer. Do it with revelation understanding. Seek God. How can I step into this place? Not just in giving, but in all the areas that God wants to grow your life in. All of us have those blind spots. All of us have those areas. But God can teach us to walk in revelation so we will overcome in Jesus' name. If you got something tonight, give the Lord a hand. Amen.